Lord, lift me up, and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It's a pleasure once again to be able to speak to you about the Word of God and speak to you from the Word of God. And we're studying right now in the book of Ecclesiastes on its good life. And if it's possible for you to have your Bible, I'd ask you to turn to chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes. Now, last time we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and we left off with verse 10. And I want to look at verse 10 and also tie that in with verse 11. Verse 10 of Ecclesiastes 8 says, "And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity." Well, this is actually telling us that wicked rulers are soon forgotten, and also that they leave nothing behind. It's all gone. They come and they go, and after they're dead, they're forgotten. Their wickedness got them vanity, got them nothing at all. And then we look at verse 11 and verse 10, as we've looked at it here, we might ask this question, why do some continue to do evil? Well, verse 11 of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 answers that question. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, men are determined to do evil because the penalty or the sentence for their sin is not carried out immediately. In other words, when someone does something wrong and they don't pay for it immediately, they say, well, you know, I don't have to worry about it. It's over with, and I got away with it. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it tells us why the sentence, for the most part, is not carried out quickly or immediately. It says there, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He's not willing that anybody should perish or go to a devil's hell. God sends nobody to hell. He does all he can to save us from that place. He's long-suffering to every person in this world. He's not willing that any should go there. That's what the Bible says. And I would say, do not believe that person who says, well, God chooses certain people to go to heaven and certain people to go to hell, and he chooses. That's not true. God leaves that up to us as individuals, as human beings. He offers the same thing to every person in this world. He offers eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that verse, once again, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So when we look around us, and even as a saved person or any individual that sees a person who's doing wrong, and we say, well, why God doesn't punish that person, or why doesn't that person have to pay for what they're doing now? Well, that's not up to us as an individual to really decide what happens to that individual. It's up to God, and the reason it does not happen immediately is because God is long-suffering. He wants all of us to come to a saving knowledge of his Son. Well, now in verse 12 of Ecclesiastes 8, it says, "Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him." Well, even though a sinner continually sins, this verse is saying, and he lives longer than expected, it's better for those who fear God and worship him. And as we think about this, we also need to realize that according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. People need to understand that it's something that we need to fear. Not that we fear that God's going to step on us and squash us, but that we have a reverential fear of God, respecting Him. And we're going to see that again in just a moment. In Ecclesiastes 8:13 it says, "But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days." He can't do anything to prolong them. He can't prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Well, not having reverential respect, and that's the fear that I'm speaking of here, not having that reverential respect for God does not help the sinner or the wicked to live longer. In other words, if he doesn't have that, if he's a tough guy, if he says, "I don't need God, I don't need anybody," well, that's not going to prolong his days. God's not afraid of us. God's not afraid of anyone. God is the one who's given us life. He's the creator. He's the creator of life, and he's the sustainer of life. And he also offers eternal life through Jesus Christ, his son. But not having that fear of God, not that person who thinks, "Well, I'm tough and I don't need anyone else," that doesn't cause them to live longer. Life will end for the person who does not have a reverential fear of God. It's coming. And the end for one who does not believe God's promises will not be good. We see that in the Word of God. Let me say that again. The end for the one who does not believe God's promises will not be good. It's not going to be good for that person who does not believe God's promises, according to verse 13. And the promises of God tell us that Jesus Christ came into this world. He came and he lived and died for sinners. And every one of us are sinners. We are sinners. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." We need to understand that our lives come to an end one day. We're not going to be here forever. And that person who is unsaved, that person who's never trusted Christ, who's never had that reverential fear of God, that person needs to understand that they're not promised tomorrow. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it gives us the first promise of the Savior. It says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." This is speaking, God speaking to the devil here. He's saying, "You caused a problem here, and because the way things happened, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head." Now, a head wound is final. When something's head is stomped like a snake, then it's over with. And that's what God is telling the devil here. God is telling Satan, he says, there's coming a time when you're going to be finished. And that verse in Genesis 3:15 says, "And thou shalt bruise his heel." In other words, the seed, the seed of God, and that's Jesus Christ, he was going to be bruised. In other words, he was going to be hurt. But a heel wound is not deadly. And the reason the verse says it this way is that Jesus would come, he would be crucified, he would be buried, and thank God he came out of the grave. He was wounded for our transgressions. That means he was bruised. He was wounded for our transgressions. God laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all of mankind, so that we could be saved and go to heaven. But the devil one day is going to be finished completely. Right now he has what we would think of as a free reign. Of course, he can only go so far with what he does now. But he's powerful. God's given him some authority that he can do what he can do right now to cause every person in this world trouble. And that includes saved people. He's going to cause us as much trouble as he can. But that person who does not believe God's promises, that doesn't mean the promises are not going to come to pass, because once again, God is sovereign. He's all powerful. And the things that God has said is going to happen will happen. And we've seen some of those things come to pass that has been mentioned in the Word of God itself. For instance, in Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And we see that fulfilled, that prophecy in Matthew 1:23 fulfilled from Isaiah 7:14. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ took upon himself the likeness of sinful man. He took upon himself flesh. But there's a big difference in him and mankind and man. Jesus was sinless. He never sinned. He couldn't sin because he was God. And my mind cannot wrap itself around everything that I read in the Word of God. I take everything by faith that God has told me, and I believe it because why? God has said it. He was God. Jesus was God, and he was man. But in Hebrews 9:27, this is where people need to understand that something's going to happen one day. Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And once the grave is dug, and once that person who has lived in this world, that person who is dead, once that person is gone out of this life, there is nothing left except judgment. Now, there is the white throne judgment that takes place for the unsaved person. And that's going to be too late to receive Jesus as Savior. It's over with. And everybody in this world needs to understand that there's coming a time when death takes place. Once again, Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And of course, Revelation 20:15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And what a terrible time that would be for anyone to be cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible says that some people say, "Well, I'll be with a lot of friends," and I got news for you. You're not going to have any friends in hell. In fact, the devil himself's going to be there in the lake of fire, and that's where he's going to be forever and ever. And that's where a person who's never trusted Jesus Christ is going to be forever and forever. You'll be with the other unsaved people, but it'll be just like you're alone. It'll be a terrible place, and the Bible teaches this. And you certainly don't want to go there. If you've never trusted Jesus, you need to get saved today. Well, now we move into the second portion of this chapter, chapter 8. And this second portion is to note the similarity between the preacher's conclusion and the book of Job about the inability of man to discern all the work of God. And to break that down even further, I would say that in verses 14 through 17, we see the enduring the vanity in life. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 14, we see perplexity. Expect perplexity. I am pleased that you joined me for lesson 19 of Ecclesiastes. You won't want to miss any of the lessons taken directly from the Word of God, the Bible. God told Solomon to ask for whatever he wanted, and Solomon asked God for wisdom. And God answered Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 12, where he said, "Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." Let us ask God for wisdom and knowledge as we study the book, His book, the Bible. Join me next time as we study lesson 20 of Ecclesiastes.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.